Conservative.
Christian. Mother. Wife.
Air Force veteran.
Gun rights advocate.
This is Stacey on the Right. Here's your host, Stacey Washington.
It's Friday Eve, otherwise known as Thursday. And it's time to get rocking with all of the best news and information we need on crime, law enforcement, all of it, with our favorite, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, retired spokesperson for the National Police Association. Sergeant Betsy, welcome back.
Stacey, thank you. And I got to tell you, coming to you from St. Louis tonight.
You're what now?
I'm in St. Louis.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. What are you doing in St. Louis? What are you doing?
Training cops. That's what I've been doing all week.
Wow. Yeah. So have you gotten any good steak? Have you eaten out at all? Anything good?
My husband had to get a horseshoe hamburger in southern Illinois, smothered with fries. There goes our low-carb diet.
Of course.
Bad. Very bad. Okay. But amazing.
All right. I mean, I've never had that. We've lived here a long time, so I've never heard of that before. So you guys are actually ahead of us. Well, I'm so glad. I know for our part, we really respect law enforcement, obviously. I think St. Louis has great police officers. We often get a bad rap for being a crime town, but it's a great place to raise a family, and it's a great place if you dial 911. The police, when they show up, they really want to help you. They're great, great guys. And so I'm really glad that you're here and you're giving them what they need. I actually saw earlier in the week a whole bunch of information about different cities having a crisis with carjacking. And I thought of you, and then tonight you're here to talk to us about exactly that. So for people who haven't heard anything about this, tell everyone what's going on with the carjackings.
So what is happening around this country, and it's everywhere from, you know, we first saw it almost 3 years ago in Washington, D.C., the juvenile carjackings, and then it spread to Baltimore and then Seattle and L.A. and Chicago. And what we are seeing, and in fact, a police major got so frustrated with looking at this situation that he said, and he was from Maryland, he said, you know what, I'm gonna delve into all these cases and find out what's happening. And what he discovered is what we all knew around the country is these juvenile carjackers, a lot of them committing carjackings with ankle bracelets on from the jail that they're already on probation from. They're telling the cops, look, I'm going to be home in like 3 hours. Before you finish the report, I'm going to be home. So go ahead and arrest me for carjacking. I'm going to keep doing it. And it's incredibly frustrating, not just for the cops, but of course for the crime victims. And the carjackings that we are seeing around the country are getting more and more violent. And that is concerning, of course.
Gosh, you know how demoralizing it is to have some punk with an ankle bracelet on telling you they're going to be out running around doing whatever they're going to be doing?
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why this police major in Prince George's County said, there's got to be more to this story. It can't be just what I'm seeing. So he did his research, not only in his own community, but all around the nation. And again, Washington, D.C., really sounded the alarm on this almost 3 years ago, where the Washington, D.C. District Council, it's their town council, but they're not a city. They said, look, we need to roll back these pro-criminal ordinances that we have because carjackings were their number one crime. And again, we're seeing it all around. And when you take these carjackings and then you combine them with the car thefts, which, by the way, are also skyrocketing, people don't feel safe driving around. They don't feel safe parking their cars. They don't feel safe taking their kids to school. And yet, Stacey, we're told crime is down. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Well, we now know that the crime is down, people. That was a lie. Ball-faced.
Well, it absolutely was a lie. The FBI somehow missed at least 1,700 murders, 7,900 rapes, 33,000 robberies. Just, oops, we just, you know, we just, we didn't catch all that. And now, in fairness, because I got to be fair to federal law enforcement, the FBI, who gathers the data from via the Uniform Crime Reporting System, they transferred recently in 2022, so 2 years ago, to something called NIBRS. Now, NIBRS stands for the National Incident-Based Reporting System. And the FBI is telling us that a lot of the local law enforcement agencies kind of didn't get the memo on NIBRS. They didn't know how to use the reporting system. So well over 40% of police agencies who are required to report their crime data to the FBI didn't do it because they didn't transition from uniform crime reporting to NIBRS. That's kind of a bureaucratic, you know, difficulty, if you will. But the thing is, this touted reduction in crime, if you will, was used in the presidential debates. It's been used to tell the American public, stop complaining about crime, because we're trying to tell you that crime is down. It's been politicized. It has, quite frankly, victimized crime victims a second time, because crime victims are being told, look, crime's not up. What you see, stop believing your lying eyes. What you see isn't really happening. Well, we now know that crime is up. And instead of that 2% drop we were told about, it's a nearly 5% increase. And unfortunately, large blue cities like here in St. Louis, Chicago, Los Angeles, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, continue to experience a higher crime rate, especially in juvenile crime and retail theft.
When I saw the numbers on the revision, I saw it over at Real Clear Politics Investigations, and I was just reading through it, and it felt to me like an even worse version of what we saw with the jobs numbers. They revised them down by 880,000. So people who felt crazy when they heard and unemployment was going down and that all these jobs were being had, you're like sitting there going, oh, I'm still looking for a job. I feel crazy. There were people who literally made videos saying, how could the unemployment rate be going down? I feel like I'm getting persistently unemployed. And I was watching those videos and thinking, that's odd. As it keeps saying that, you know, there's 223,000 jobs created, 267,000 jobs created. Why are people saying they can't find a job if there's all these jobs? Well, it turns out those numbers weren't right. And here we are with the crime stats. Same, same.
Well, and that's the thing. And you know, you look at this in relation to the FBI. They're the ones who gather these statistics. They are becoming embarrassingly unreliable, right? Remember, they're still investigating things like the first person who tried to murder Donald Trump. What's his motivation? We don't really know that. FBI is investigating. The FBI is investigating the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And again, we're told they're on it. They're going to be doing it. They've got things they're doing. We can talk about the FBI and school shootings. We can talk about the FBI in relationship to so many different things in this country where people are starting to lose faith in our federal government. They're losing faith in the FBI. And remember, the FBI very quietly tried to just amend these crime statistics. They did not want, they didn't have a big press conference. They didn't really want a big press hoo-ha. And yet, you know, our own federal government also put something out a couple of months ago called the National Crime Victims Survey, and the federal government told us just a couple of months ago, crime is actually going largely unreported. Crime is increasing in large numbers, and they're at odds with the FBI. And I think that's part of the big frustration we see in the country now we'd like to be able to trust our federal government, at least from a law enforcement standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, when you talk about the jobs numbers, the crime numbers, and we no longer have that faith in the government that, frankly, we elect and we pay for. And that's why you see so much disconcerted attitudes among people now, because we want to be able to trust our federal government. You and I both have worked for the government for a great deal of our life. I want to trust my government. I work for them. I believe in the government, but I no longer trust them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I used to be the kind of person who'd say, oh, you know, go get the government statistics. You know, it's like, it was almost like a little bit of a flex. Well, these statistics are from the government, right? You know, we can trust these. These are the jobs numbers from the government. They're the ones who track this stuff. And I would always just think of the nerdy eggheads who would go and, you know, they compile the data and this is their life, you know, making sure these numbers are right. And now we come to find out it's just another political tool to, you know, keep everybody fat, dumb and stupid. And we're supposed to believe this stuff. And then when they revise it, I kind of feel like, OK, you're revising. It's not like they revised a few jobs, you know, 1,000 or 10,000. They're like, yeah, 880,000 jobs that we thought were made. We were wrong. They weren't made. That's it.
Exactly.
Crime, you know, crime, we said it was down 2.5%. We said it was down, but it's really up 4.5%. Up. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. They missed 80,000 violent crimes. That's kind of a big deal. And I also think part of my frustration, in fact, I was talking to some of our students today about this. You know, the FBI kind of blamed local law enforcement. You guys didn't really understand the system, and you didn't really catch on to our new NIBR system. And so it's you local law enforcement guys that didn't really do what you needed to do. And in fact, one of the things the FBI did was they took the stats from earlier in the year and they did an estimation, and they really thought the American public would buy this. That here's an estimation of what we think crime is going to be. And it turns out they were very, very wrong about it. And then someone chose to use those statistics, those estimated statistics and those statistics lacking in fact, and politicize it, not only in a presidential debate, but in a campaign, in social media. And again, we were kind of browbeaten with it that you should not be so worried about crime because it's not really happening at the level that you people think it's happening. And yet at the meantime, what are cops seeing around the country? What are citizens seeing around the country? They're seeing crime happening all around them. People are victims of it all around. And again, according to the National Crime Victimization Survey, people just aren't even bothering to report it. And how sad is that?
Yeah, so you get victimized and you don't even say anything. If the carjacker is literally saying, I'll be back out in 3 hours and I'll be jacking again. I mean, I can think of some things that people should be doing, but probably not best to say that here on the radio. So
we're all about the law, Stacey.
Me too. Me too. I am too. Everybody knows that about me. I'm just going to go ahead and say I am all about the law. I believe in it, and I believe that you should believe in it too. I actually think that a return to lawfulness of people fearing, you know, the law enforcement, of people feeling like I don't want to get on the wrong side of the law, that would be a good thing for us as a country.
Well, it absolutely would, and cops are ready for it. And they're seeing, you know, some of the cops that we've been talking to over the last few weeks, they feel a shift back toward them. They're feeling that support from their communities, and they're feeling that frustration that people have, that it seems like the government really isn't listening to them about them being victimized, about them not feeling safe. And so we are seeing that shift, and I think we're going to see it at the ballot box, where people are going to speak up and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy into this, hey, crime is going down and everything's fine and you should just get with the program. And people are paying attention to crime. They're paying attention to what's happening at the border, and they're paying attention to what's happening in government as it relates to their day-to-day lives.
Which is a good thing, because the minute people start paying attention, they're going to see just how much of their money is being wasted and just how little they have in the way of an opportunity to do something about that.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And we're seeing people are experiencing the loss in freedom, because remember, people who don't feel safe aren't really free. They're feeling the losses financially when you know, they prices rise because of not just inflation, but also, you know, retail theft, shoplifting, things like that. When their car gets stolen, when their house gets burglarized. You know, we recently got a survey from a big loss prevention consulting firm. In 2022, which is when we're talking about these FBI crime stats, retail losses due to theft were at $7.1 billion in 2022 when this crime was going up. $7.1 billion, up $4.9 billion from 2019. Who's paying for that? You and me. Everybody's paying for that. And,
wow.
And you know, so it's not just inflation. That's a big part of it. But it's also the losses that corporations experience. You know, they either bail out, you know, Walmart leaving Chicago, Target leaving all kinds of places, stores leaving urban areas. But they also, the ones that stay, have to raise their prices. $7.1 billion. And why is that? Why the big rise in retail theft? Back to what we talked about. Crime is going up, especially crimes like retail theft, because they're not being prosecuted, and people know it. People know it, that if they get on the rare chance for retail theft, they get arrested, nothing's going to happen to them. That's these woke prosecutors and woke judges that will not punish aberrant behavior. They will not punish theft. They will not punish robbery. They will not punish carjacking. And hopefully that's all going to change this fall.
Yes, that's what we're asking for Christmas. President Trump getting elected. Yeah, that's what y'all pray for that and then vote for that. Tell everybody that's who you're voting for. So I had an interesting experience, Sergeant Betsy, with someone who I don't know well, who heard me speaking at an event last night, and I was just listing off and comparing and contrasting all of the things that are happening in our country right now that are going wrong. And I was pointing out that they're a direct result of having elected President Biden and Vice President Harris. And I was talking about these things are wrong. They're not just wrong morally. They're wrong for people of faith to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm voting because I don't like him, so I'm going to vote for her because she's nicer. That's actually nonsensical. No one should make decisions based on, you know, this one's nice, unless you're choosing a babysitter, right? If you'd like to choose the nice person to be your babysitter, but to be the president, to be the leader of the free world, to negotiate with President Xi Jinping, to negotiate with, you know, Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, who everyone says he's so scary and he's such a dastardly evil man. And I think he is a dastardly evil man. But then they want to send Kamala Harris to negotiate with him. I don't understand that. And so there was a bit of a change of heart by someone who said that, you know, she wasn't going to vote personality. She was going to vote for policy. And so I want people to think about what kind of an impact you could have. People, they respect you. They know that you're a person of integrity. Think about people who see you in that light, and then think about how you could just tell them the truth about why you're voting the way you are. You don't have to tell them everything. Just pick a few key points and share those, and don't try to get them to change their mind right there on the spot. Just tell them and then leave them be for a little bit. We still have, you know, at midnight tonight, we'll have 18 days left. Come on. Let's do this, right? Let's make this happen.
Exactly. That's why the National Police Association doesn't get involved in candidates. We look at policy. Mm-hmm. We look at things that are going to affect the country, and things that are going to affect our citizens, our law enforcement, our potential crime victims. You know, this is why we get involved in things like a homeschool program. You know, we don't talk about candidates. We want people in this nation to thrive, to be safe. We want law enforcement officers, 360 of them who have been shot this year. We want them to be able to go do their jobs safely. It's why we don't get all eaten up with politics. And that's why I personally suggest to people exactly what you just said. Look at how you live. Look at your values. Look at what kind of country you want to live in and vote according to that.
Exactly. Well, how do I want to live? That's a great way to think through. If you think now that the country's on the wrong track, which a lot of people do think that, then you should be voting against the current administration and anyone who's actually working in it. That's the simplest way to boil it down. National Police Association is a nonprofit and not actually affiliated with either political party. You're neutral. And you're doing a fantastic job of training police officers. Tell everyone how to support what you do.
We ask everyone, go to nationalpolice.org. Nationalpolice.org. You can also follow us on X and on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter, X, at SGT Betsy Smith. And take a look at, go to our website, sign up for the newsletter. We have some amazing authors. We got a new book coming out. And we're just doing a lot of great work. Not just for the American law enforcement officer, but for the people that support us. It's just a wonderful organization.
Okay. I love it. I hope that you guys will continue to support National Police Association. And we look forward to talking to you here again. Sergeant Betsy, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Stacey. I got to go back to 103 now. I'm cold. I'm cold here in the Midwest.
I know. I'm sorry. It's not even gotten bad. Like, I was running around today with just I have a kind of a big comfy sweater that I throw on. It kind of comes past my knees, and it's like a duster. So I just throw that on this time of year. You'll see me in that sweater all the time because it's black, so it can go over everything. And I just threw it on today, and I thought, I'm not really cold today. This weather's great. And I breathed in pretty deeply and thought, oh, wonderful. But if you're from Arizona, you're probably freezing.
I'm dying right now.
Oh, no. Well, we won't give you the zero temps that are coming up for us in January. You just enjoy this temperate weather.
Thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Okay, great to talk to you too, Sergeant Betsy.